Good morning. Why don't we pray? Dear God, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you mean to us. Thank you, God, for calling us out of darkness and bringing us into the marvelous light. Thank you, God, for loving us. God, I just pray, Father, even as I share this word, I pray that you would, your word would speak to all of us, and that it would stir within us the hunger and thirst to know you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic of today's message is that I may know him. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Where it talks about the temptation of Jesus. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When I read this scripture, it says, "The man shall not live by bread alone." Bread is for the body. But every word that proceeds, the tense is present. Proceeds, not proceeded, not already spoken, but proceeds from the mouth of God. The word used in the Greek is rhema. Rhema is a spoken word, it's an utterance. In the Bible, we see God speaks, God leads, God reveals, God illuminates. He's a very active God, interested in our lives. What fascinated me was that Jesus heard the Father, saw the Father do, and only did what the Father said and what the Father did. Not one thing more, nor one thing less. Jesus answered in John chapter 5, verse 19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Son does, these things Whatever the Father does, these things also the Son does in like manner." So Jesus did not do anything unless he saw the Father do. In John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, "For I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who has sent me has given me the commandment as to what to say and what to speak." Now, just as the Father sent Jesus, he has sent us. In John chapter 20, verse 21 to to 23, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." If you observe the life of Jesus, he did nothing of his own initiative. He did not do what he wanted to do. He did what the Father wanted to do. He did not say what he wanted to say. He only said what the Father told him to say. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was feeling his soul was distressed to the point of death, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Since Jesus is our role model, we ought to desire to walk like he walked. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me." It's not about my will. It's not about my way. It's not about my timing. It's not about my glory. It's about God. If we learn to deny ourselves, if we learn to surrender our wills, if we hunger to do his will, you know, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman and the disciples came with food and they were assuming that somebody must have brought him food, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father." Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So am I willing to do his will? Am I willing to suffer in the path of obedience that I may know him? Because when we suffer in obedience, we get to experience God. When we seek to do his will, we can't do it on our own strength. We can only do by the grace he provides. For that, we have to humble ourselves. When we seek to do his will, we get to experience God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed in his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead." So how do we get to know God? Think about it. We enjoy good food. We enjoy good pleasures. We enjoy great friendships. But the God who created all that is good, can you think about enjoying him? About knowing him? It is better than any pleasure. It is better than any knowledge. It's better than any experience. And that is the purpose why we were created. We were not created to exist, pay the mortgage, go through trials without any purpose. We were created to know God. Paul thought of it that I may know him. That is the purpose. The only way we can know him and the only way we can be revealed about God is through the Holy Spirit. Now, he's the Spirit of truth. He is the one that gives us the grace and the power. So how do we, like, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? In John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11, he says, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged." Now, if you observe yourself, when you think, who is the one that is aware of your thoughts? Your own spirit, right? Bible says, only the spirit of man is aware of the thoughts of man. Only the spirit of God is aware of the thoughts of God. Now, God in his love and his mercy and his plan and his purpose has given us his own spirit, so that we can have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing. But we speak of God's wisdom in a mystery, hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which no eye has seen or ear has heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not with words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Why is the natural man find it foolishness? Because it's not me-centric. It's not about me. The natural man always thinks about me. What is it for me? Where do I get the glory? So the natural man doesn't understand the things of God because they're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. And then he goes on to say, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we have, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, access to the mind of God if we let the Holy Spirit sanctify our minds. The more we surrender our minds, the more we will have the mind of Christ. The more we wash our minds with the Word of God, the more we will hear the voice of God. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is John chapter 14, verse 16 to 31. He may be with you, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commands and keeps them, it is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So God, when Jesus was on the earth, he told his disciples that he, when he leaves the earth, he will send a helper. A helper who is with them right now, but who will be within them in the days to come. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Imagine God making his abode. He dwells within us. Imagine he will walk with us through his Spirit. Imagine we have full access to the mind of God if we yearn and seek to do his will. Now, Jesus did nothing apart from the Father. Can you imagine you doing your work with God, your parenting with God, your marriage with God, and he's there with you. He's yoked with you. He's willing to teach us every step of the way. It's a walk. When I walk with my daughter for walks, I walk in step with her. We go in the same direction. We do the same thing. Imagine walking with God in your work situation, in the stress, in the deadlines, in your health issues, walking with God. God gave us his own Spirit as a seal of redemption. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He has given us his Holy Spirit as a helper to live a life that God wants us to live. And that is the purpose why we were created. We were created that we may know him. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." The word know is the same as intimately know someone. Now, I know most of you, but I know my wife the closest. So we've known each other for 25 years. We've been married for 19 years. I know her because I spend time with her. She is involved in my life. She sees me up and close. She sees me through all the frustrations, all the disappointments, all the pain, all the joys. That's how I know her. That's how we're going to know God. When you get tempted, when you go through trials, when we bring him in, "God, I don't know how to be this parent." So there's no manual for parenting. There's no manual for life. But we have a helper, and he's the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that helped Jesus. He understands you. He loves you. He will remind you of what Jesus has taught. He will lift you up. He will encourage you. He will correct you. In the charismatic circles, you know, they talk about the Holy Spirit and it's all about signs and wonders. But Jesus didn't focus on the signs and wonders. And Jesus was led by the Spirit. Signs and wonders followed. The more we seek God, the more we will know him. The more we spend time with him, the more we will know him. The more we are yoked with him, the more we will know him. The more we deny ourselves, the more we will know him. We'll have to hunger like the deer pants for water. We'll have to thirst. We have to seek him like gold or silver, how the world seeks for gold or silver. I've been a Christian for 36 years, and at the first part of my Christian walk, I would just hear God through the word. But I yearned for knowing him. I yearned for experiencing him more. I cried out to God, God, I want to hear you. God, I want to be led by you. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to be someone that is self-centered. I want to be your disciple. But it's only through sanctification. Now, the word sanctification sounds very complicated. I did a study on that. It just means you belong to something or someone. You're set apart for someone or something. Imagine if your mind is set apart for God, that you pull down every thought that is contrary to the knowledge of God. Imagine your heart is set apart for God, where the only thing you desire is to do His will. That's when we love God with all our heart and all our mind, with all our soul, with all our spirit. It's no longer a religion. It's no longer a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. He will teach you how to overcome sin. He will teach you how to love difficult people. And all the glory will go to God. And then you become a person that radiates God. You're not perfect, but in your weakness, you reach out to God. I learned to overcome sin. I learned to overcome hurt. I learned to love my brother, love people that were difficult to love. Not because I had the strength, but I reached out to God. Sorry. So when I went through difficult situations, I just cried out to God, God, I can't do this. I can't meet this deadline. Show me how to meet this deadline. Show me how to deal with the politics at work. Show me how to deal with my feelings. Instead of running away from God when I was tempted, I brought God in. And that's what Jesus did. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, he offered both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. He was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Having made perfect, he became to all those who obey the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. When you obey God, when you choose to pursue him, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer rejection. You're going to suffer hardship. Obedience causes suffering, especially when you're living an obedient life in this broken world where everyone is going in one direction and you are going in the opposite direction. But the more we suffer for the path of righteousness, in the path of righteousness, the more Christ is formed in us. When I learned to love my brother, because I told God, I find it difficult. I don't feel like loving him. And God spoke to my heart. He said, it's not a feeling, it's a choice. As I started loving him, as I started forgiving him daily, I grew in forgiveness. I grew in love. When I got married to Deborah, that love had come to that level where I could love my wife and love my kids. Every day, passing day, I'm growing. And that's what happens when we surrender ourselves, surrender our will. And our flesh is not going to like it. Flesh wants comfort. Flesh wants easy way. And that's what most churches preach, is the easy way. But it doesn't raise up men and women of God that are strong and rooted in the word, that are overcomers. When we hunger for him, When we spend time with him, when we let him do his work in our lives, when we let him form Christ in us, we actually get to know him. In my life, God has spoken to me numerous times. Like, I found Deborah because God led me to her. I came to Canada because he led me. But whenever I sought him with humility, we will hear God more when we seek him with humility, when we seek to do his will, his way, in his timing, for his glory. We will hear him more. We will be led by him. Then everything that comes our way, whether it's trials and tribulations, God's going to turn it into good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Someone may say, how do you know God is leading? How do you know God is speaking? You will know it by the fruit you bear. You will know by the fruit you bear that God is leading. Now, God taught me to forgive my brother. What is the fruit I bore? What the Word of God says. God taught me to overcome sin. How do I know it was God? Because I overcame sin. God taught me patience through the things I went through. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Patience. So there are two categories of people. One that brag about God speaking all the time. And one that don't have to brag about God speaking all the time. But you will know them by the fruit they bear. How do they treat their wife? How do they treat their kids? How do they deal with situations? How do they deal with insults? The fruit we bear are the evidence of the roots where we are in. If we are humble, if we seek to do his will, we will bear the fruit, which is the evidence of humility. James chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. You know, Peter had a revelation from God when Jesus asked, who do they say I am? And Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. What Peter did not know, it was the Father that revealed it to him. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now the same Peter, in the same chapter, when Jesus talks about dying on the cross, says to Jesus, you shall surely not die. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Peter did not know the first revelation was from God. Peter did not know the second revelation was from the devil. But if you read James chapter 3, verse 14 to 18, you realize Peter was operating the first time God-centric. The second time he was operating was out of selfishness because he wanted his Savior not to die. He didn't want to be alone again. And there was the fruit. So how does God really speak? He speaks to those who earnestly seek him. In Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of all those who earnestly seek him. If my son desires something that is good, and I know it's going to benefit him, I will not withhold it from him. And I'm not a perfect father. Imagine if you desire God and you want to know him. Do you think he'll withhold it from you? I took that verse and I said, God, I want to know you. And I'm going to take down everything that comes between me and you. I'm going to cast away every sin that entangles me, every thought that opposes you. And I need your help, God, because I'm weak. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I've not gone to any Bible college. I don't know the Greek. I don't know the Hebrew, but I want you. I want you to be my treasure. I want you to be my hope. And I cried out to God. And at every juncture in my life, I have the choice to listen to my flesh, to bring glory to myself, or to seek God. He nudges me. He tells me sometimes I have pride. He nudges me. He says, son, that attitude is wrong. How does he speak? He convicts. He speaks through thoughts. He speaks through the word. When I come here to hear God, I don't come here to hear, sorry, that's confusing. I don't come to hear Jason, or I don't come to hear Andrew. I come to hear God. And when I come with that expectation, he speaks. Jesus said, he who has ear of the Spirit will hear what the Spirit has to say. God can speak to you through your kids. God can speak to you through your wife. God can speak to you through a message. God can speak, convict you. God can give you wisdom. God gives wisdom. Bible says in James, he gives wisdom generously if you ask him without doubt. So is there only one way God speaks? No, God speaks multiple ways because he's sovereign. He chooses the way to speak. But the end result of that is you will bear fruit of the Spirit. The end result of that is that God gets glorified. The end result of that is through all that you go through, you're going to know him. So the next week, you have opportunities to know God. Every situation thrown at you, you can either choose to depend on God, yield to his will, or do what you want to do, your way. And it's a process. Nobody has arrived there. We are all growing. And the beauty is Jesus knows your frailty. Jesus knows you are human. But he has given you his Spirit. So when you're weak, you're strong. When you're weak, he'll provide you the grace. And all that is needed for that grace to be provided is the humility. God, I don't know how to do this. God, I will fail here without you. Sorry, my iPad just got moved. So let us hunger. Let us yearn to do his will. Let that be the focus. The focus is not career. We need to have careers. The focus is not having a spouse. It is God's will for us to have a spouse, for man shall not live, like man, God did not want man to live alone. The focus is not providing, we need to provide, but the focus is through all that we go through, we need to seek him and know him. And so no matter what the enemy does, don't focus on the enemy. No matter what you go through in trials, don't focus on the trials. Partner with God. Get yoked with him. If somebody's struggling with sin, get yoked with God. If somebody's struggling with depression, get yoked with God. Say, God, help me. I have gone through depression, and I overcame depression by coming to God. I struggled with identity. I learned to overcome identity by yoking with God. I was very career-oriented, and God showed me that is your idol. You need to dismantle it. I dismantled it by the grace God gave. Even today, there are times I have lost my cool with my kids. Guess what I do? I humble myself. I apologize to them. And I say, God, give me the grace. When we do that, God will start working in our lives. You will suddenly realize he speaks a lot more than you realize he does. Because God has not stopped speaking. When I have pride, I don't listen to him. There was a guy that I was ministering to, I was mentoring. He used to tell me, Vivek, God doesn't speak to me as much. And one day he comes to me. He says, can you pray? I have this annoying neighbor. Can you pray that these feelings that I have against him go away? And I said to him, I'm not going to pray that. He says, why? I said, because you need to do something so that those feelings go away. So he asked me, what do I need to do? I said, you need to be kind to your neighbor and love him. Do something good for him and those feelings will go away. He said, I don't feel like. I said, well, it's not a feeling. Obedience to God is not a feeling. If you wait for feelings to obey God, you will never obey God. He looks at me. He says, that's what my wife told me to. Just be kind to him. Be nice to him. So I said, why don't you buy a gift card and just bless him with a gift card? He looks at me, rolls his eyes. That's what my wife told me to. I said, do you think there is a common thread here? The word of God says, be good to those who are not nice to you. I just suggested that you buy a gift card. Your wife just suggested you buy a gift card. Do you think who is speaking to you to buy a gift card? He says, God. Next week he comes back for prayer. I said, hey, did you buy the gift card? I bought it, but I didn't give it. I didn't feel like. You're still feeling all those dirty feelings inside, the ugly feelings of anger and hate? He says, yeah. Okay. Are you going to do this next week? He says, okay, I'll do it. Next week, he gives the card. He comes with happiness and joy. He says, I gave the card. And I said, what happened to the feelings? They went away. What was his reaction? He didn't know how to handle it. So you did what God told you to do. He says, yeah. The weeks following, he started hearing God more. He would read the word and the verses would pop up. He says, I'm beginning to hear God. I said, good. The more we obey God, the more our hearing becomes sharp. The more we disobey God, the more our hearing becomes dull. The more we obey God, my hearts get softened. The more we disobey God, our hearts get hardened. So I would encourage all of you, pursue God. Pursue God more than your passions, more than the treasures, more than the pleasures, more than the things that make you happy. Because we cannot live without God. Just like a fish cannot live without water, we were never designed to live without God. And God was not meant to be just for us in crisis situation, but in everyday situation. That's how we walk with him. And the more we walk with him, the more we know him. The more we spend time with him, the more we know him. Imagine the word of God says, pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? You can only pray without ceasing if you depend on God without ceasing. Now he's not a Sunday God. Now he's not a Bible study God. He's the Lord of your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that you love us. And in your love, you speak to us through your word. Thank you, God, that you are interested in every little detail of our life. Thank you, God, that you chose us before the foundation of the world that we may know you. God, I pray, Father, stir within us the hunger and the thirst to know you. May we not just visit you on Sundays. May we be the people that live and move and have our being in you. Open our eyes to see the urgency and the need to know you. For apart from you, we can do nothing good, but through you, we can do all things. Create in us hunger for you. Take away everything that's not of you. Search our hearts and search our minds. And if there's any wicked way in us, remove it, Lord, and show us the way everlasting. That at the end of our life, we have fought the fight, kept the faith, and finished the race. Pray this, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.